This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Prissy Schmeiser is an organic farmer from Saskatchewan. He's well known around the world for taking his fight with Monsanto Corporation all the way to the Supreme Court of Canada in July 2004. Monsanto had sued him after their genetically modified Roundup Ready canola contaminated his fields. The Supreme Court ruled that Monsanto was within its rights to patent plant genes, but they denied the company's claim for punitive damages and did not fine the Schmeisers. In the fall of 2005, the genetically modified canola plants again turned up on the Schmeiser farm. What happened next led to the Schmeisers filing a case against Monsanto in small claims court. The case was settled out of court 10 days ago. Prissy Schmeiser joins me on the line this morning from Saskatchewan to tell us about the final round in his more than 10-year-long battle with Monsanto. Good morning, Prissy.
Good morning.
What did you do when you found the plants on your farm in 2005?
Well, we were very concerned about it because we were preparing that field for a new varieties of mustard, and we knew that you could not, if you had contamination of canola in it, we would not be able to continue with our research on yellow mustard. So we did some testing, and we were quite positive they were Monsanto's Roundup Ready canola on our land, and so we notified Monsanto at that time.
And what was Monsanto's response?
They said that they would come out within 2 or 3 days and check to make sure or to see if it was indeed their plants. They indeed did that and came out, and they took samples of the plants throughout the field. They were scattered here and there. They got a copy of it from the same plant, and I received a copy of the plants or the leaves or the seeds. And after several days, they contacted us back and said, yes, indeed, it was their Roundup Ready canola, Monsanto's, that had contaminated our field, and they wanted to know what we wanted done. And I said, because we're doing mustard research, I want the plants removed. And they agreed to do this within several days.
So did they come and pull out the plants for you then?
About 2 days or a day before they were to come out, they contacted us and said, oh, by the way, you have to sign a release form. And we said to them, what are you talking about, a release form? And they said, yeah, we get farmers to sign this. So they sent us a copy, and in that release form, it stated that we, my wife, myself, or a member of our family could never, ever take Monsanto to court for the rest of our lives on that field, irregardless how much they contaminated us in the future. The other part of the release was that, and was really irritating, was that it was a gag order. We were not allowed to talk to anyone about the terms of settlement for the rest of our lives also. And we told Monsanto at that time there is no way we would ever give our freedom of speech away or an opportunity to take them to court if they contaminated us again in the future. And they refused to do this, and we said then we'll remove the plants ourselves.
And then you took them to court?
Well, what happened was then we removed the plants, and we sent Monsanto a bill through small claims court for around $660. They refused to pay it unless we signed the release form, which we said we would not do. And then finally, the judge issued a summons against Monsanto, and we had them in court on that bill. So that's what the whole issue was about. Then it went to mediation back in May of last year, of 2007, and mediation failed because Monsanto continued to insist that they wanted us to sign our freedom of speech away or a gag order, and that we could never take them to court again. So that was the basis that it went to court in March here of last week.
So you actually won that court case 10 days ago. But Monsanto Public Affairs Director Trish Jordan is saying that the settlement they reached with you on March 20th is essentially the same offer they extended to you 2 years ago. What's your response to that?
Well, that is totally false and deceiving and deceitful, because they know that they wanted us to sign a gag order and that we could never take them to court. She worded it very cleverly. She said it's almost the same, or it's basically the same as the agreement, but it was totally different. And in the settlement that they offered to us then was that they would pay us the $660, and they would take that we could have the right to take them to court tomorrow if we were contaminated again, and there was no gag order. So it was, the word she used, it was essentially the same. Well, to take somebody's rights in regards to freedom of speech, or somebody's right to that, you cannot take them to court again, is more than essentially the same. It's basically a big difference. And so that is really deceitful, in my opinion, on her part, to say it was essentially the same when the rights of a farmer is taken away. And so it was a major, major victory for us, my wife and myself, that we can continue to talk about it, and we can take Monsanto to court if they contaminate us again on that land tomorrow.
Now, has Monsanto changed its policy towards other farmers who find Roundup Ready canola on their fields?
No, just an article that Trish Jordan had in one of the farm papers this past week stated that they're going to continue to use their regular conventional release form. Now, what does she think? Farmers are absolutely stupid. They settle with me where I can speak, or I can take them back to court, where they agreed to clean up, which they did. They paid for the contamination cleanup, and also I can take them to court again. How would they expect other farmers now to sign the same original release form when they signed a different one with me? So basically now it's a liability issue that they're being faced with, and I think the time has come when Monsanto now realizes that they have an obligation. If they introduce a life form in the environment like a GMO seed or plant, and it contaminates an organic farmer, conventional farmer, there's a liability here, and they should pay for the damages.
What do you think is the significance of this settlement?
Well, I think it opens the door now for organic farmers and conventional farmers around the world. It's a light at the end of the tunnel that farmers can now see that they have some recourse against a corporation like Monsanto if they get contaminated. And I should mention that in my original trial, the Supreme Court and in the federal court, the judges ruled it doesn't matter how you are contaminated, whether it's cross-pollination or seeds blown in the wind. If you are, Monsanto owns and controls that life form, in this case a seed or a plant. So if you own and control a life form and you put it in the environment where you cannot control it, as shown many times and especially twice in my case, then they should be responsible for the damage it caused to the environment, to organic farmers, choice being taken away, and so on.
Percy, I understand that now the focus of your court case was around the release and around the contamination of the field and the economic costs to you, and you wanted that redone. But I understand that you have some other concerns around contracts that Monsanto requires of farmers.
Well, I'm really, really concerned, and I think it's a gray area in law. When they get farmers to sign contracts without proper information, where a farmer gives up his right to use his own seed, he must always buy the seed from Monsanto, he can only use Monsanto's chemicals, he must permit Monsanto's police force or investigating force, which last year they had about 35 former RCMP officers hired to police their contracts. They can go on your land, they can go in your granaries, they can get your tax records, your farming records, with or without your permission. And you must pay Monsanto $15 an acre license fee each year on that land. And another issue is, too, that you can never take Monsanto to court if you have any damages resulting from that crop. So your total freedom. Oh, and there's another item in the contract. If you commit, as a farmer, if you commit some violation of the contract, there's also a gag order. You can never talk to the press or anyone of what they have done to you. So Trish Jordan goes on and says there's only 16 farmers last year that were investigated. But she doesn't say anything about the maybe the hundreds of farmers that had signed that contract, given up their freedom of speech. And the other really irritating thing is that they advertise, or were advertising in their brochures, that if you think your neighbor is growing Monsanto's GMO canola without a license, you should inform on your neighbor. And if you did that, if a neighbor happened to do that to his fellow farmer or his fellow neighbor, he would get a free gift from Monsanto. So you can imagine all the different tactics they use to get control of the farmer's seed supply. And so those are just some of the things that I think should be brought out when Trish Jordan says it's, you know, basically the agreement was the same. But what about all the other things that they're doing? And another very irritating thing that they do, and we don't know how many thousands of these letters have been sent out, and farmers call these extortion letters, where Monsanto will write a letter to a farmer and say, we have reason to believe, or we think you might be growing Monsanto's GMO canola without a license. And we estimate you have 200 acres or 300 acres, and in lieu of us not taking you to court, send us $100,000, $200,000 by a certain date, and we may or may not take you to court. Can you imagine a fear in a farm family when they receive a letter like this from a billion-dollar corporation, send us $100,000 in 2 weeks' time or 3 weeks' time because we think you might be growing Monsanto's GMO without a license? And in that same letter, it states, you are not allowed to show this letter to anyone or we will fine you. These are the tactics that is going on here in Western Canada. We're supposed to have a democratic society, but now how these corporations are taking over control over farmers, organic farmers, and the seed supply.
Well, Percy, it's been a long 10 years, and I think a really clear victory for you at the end of this, and as you describe it, a light at the end of the tunnel for other farmers who are facing this issue. It doesn't sound like the fight's been taken out of you. What will you do if you find more Roundup Ready plants on your farm?
Well, I'll definitely notify them again, but then I will go farther. Because I'll go farther then for the economic loss. If I'm not allowed, if I cannot raise the crop I want to raise the following year because of the contamination, there's now an economic loss. And they even had the audacity when they contaminated me 2 years ago and write me a letter and said it would be in the best interest for you not to seed mustard it the following year because of the contamination, because you cannot separate canola and mustard. So now my wife and I own the land. We pay the taxes on the land, and now you have a corporation write you a letter and tell you what you can grow or not grow in your land because of the contamination by them. So I'm going to continue on to bring this message, the awareness, to farmers around the world. First of all, that you cannot coexist. Once you introduce it, it becomes all GMOs. It will eventually destroy the organic farmers, and it will destroy the conventional farmers, and you cannot contain it. The Monsanto used to say all you had to use is a buffer strip of 50 meters, 100 meters, then it was a kilometer. There is no safe distance, and it will spread. You cannot contain it, and this is the message I will continue to bring to the farmers and consumers of the world.
Well, Percy, thank you very much for joining me this morning, and congratulations on your win.
Thank you very much. It's a great victory for my wife and myself, and it wasn't an easy 10 years, the stress and the financial stress that we went through, and people can get a lot more information if they go to my website, which is www.percyschmeiser.com.
All right. Great talking to you this morning.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
I've been speaking with Saskatchewan farmer Percy Schmeiser, and if you'd like to find out more about his fight with Monsanto, you can go to, as he says, percyschmeiser.com, or you can find a link directly from our website at coopradio.org/redeye.